I'd like to discuss a little bit more about Kanti Parami, because usually if we're talking about it in Vietnam or somewhere, I talk about Kanti at this moment, Kanti with whatever is conditioned now, not wishing it's another object, because what arises now is conditioned already. So with understanding, Kanti develops to be patient with what life is like at this very moment. But I was interested when you were talking the other day about Kanti Parami, not to regret moments of akusala. Can you say a little more about this?
Akusala need Kanti.
Or kusala need Kanti.
Kanti to understand.
Yes,
to,
at this moment.
From moment to moment.
Yes.
It's needed, because it's the way to eliminate ignorance, which is so great.
Yes.
Now, Kanti, how can it reach that degree?
We tend to react to other people's akusala.
And Kanti is there.
If there's Kanti, there's no adverse reaction.
Understanding. Depending on whether the understanding of the person or understanding of Dhamma.
So then it's similar in a way to tolerance of other people's akusala?
Tolerance with one's own and other accumulations.
Like a friend in Taiwan was talking to me. He was not very happy about his friend lying and shamelessly. Mm-hmm. And so I share, if you really know the danger of lying, then you have sympathy for that person.
And Kanti, yes.
Yeah, that would be the Kanti, because understand the condition of Kanti.
So one can see that understanding Dhammas as anatta leads to more understanding of others and more Kanti.
Any moment you share Dhamma to those who do not have any foundation understanding at all. Always Kanti in daily life. And when there is the ill mood, Kanti for Panya to understand it as yourself.
Right. Kanti with two. Akusala.
To understand what is said, no one or self, and what is there. See?
Just passing down the
Kanti to obtain the moment of understanding clearly is yourself. And Kanti can be with akusala.
Yes.
But it's not parami.
No.
For example, Kanti waiting for the bird.
Longing.
With patience, will it come?
Craving with patience.
Just wanting to know whether it will come. What is its purpose? To be back to the fine weather here or what? And then gone completely. So each moment is different. From Puvanka to Panchadvara Vachana, to see into Sambhadichana, to Sandhirna, Bhotapana, and then Chavana, and then Puvanka again. Each moment is different. So there is no place for I at all, but there is the understanding of the characteristic of that which appears.
And then, because we've been talking quite a lot about Vipassana Jnana, then we have Kanti Jnana and the three kinds or stages of Kanti Jnana. And
what stage of Vipassana is Kanti Jnana?
The first one is Samasana Jnana to Udayabhaya Jnana. So actually it's quite high level of Vipassana Jnana already. And
from the first to the third?
That
is Taruna Vipassana.
Taruna, but I thought when we talked about
from Sambhasana Dhyana to Upadabhyana.
Yes, so that's from the third
to
Samasana Dhyana, the
talking to
Udayabhyana.
Is the low Kanti.
Yes.
Not strong yet.
Yes.
And
yes.
After that it gets stronger.
Yes, yes, but starting at the third stage, yeah. But what I mean is, okay, you call this low stage of Vipassana Jnana because it's still tender insight. But it's still
so long,
still
time.
Much higher than Nama Rupa Parijaya.
From that state to the higher one, yes. Takes quite long.
Yes.
Time, so it needs Kanti. But even so, it's low one.
Yes, low one. One, yes.
Great one, yes.
And it's the patience to. The patience to listen and understand, and which can be seen or known, but it just really is indicating that great patience with understanding at that level.
And the middle one is from Buddhaya
Vijnana
to Sankara Vijnana.
Middle. Only middle, Sankara Vijnana. And then the third one at moments of enlightenment.
Sankara.
Sankara to
Anuloma Yana.
Anuloma.
After that, nothing can stop, can hinder.
Why exactly do they talk about Kanti Jnana just from Samasana Jnana?
Not to rush to take whatever as Jnana. Without understanding the very, very intricate difference between the first to the second and to the third and to the fourth, see.
So you think that by that stage there'd be no risk of taking something for jnana,
For jnana, see, when we use the word vipassana, it's not ordinary. Not like knowing now from learning that what appears has to arise, otherwise cannot be there at all.
And when it's Kanti Jnana.
And this is thinking, listening and thinking.
But when you say Kanti, not to take whatever for Jnana.
It takes time,
yes,
to let go the idea of self from hearing, from the moment of hearing.
Could you think that once a person attained the first Jnana, there would be
we know that it's Kanti Barami,
yeah,
right? It needs Kanti, but even that is not Vipassana Jnana. But it takes quite something like that, and how much it would in order to gain the higher understanding from one to one. Especially even the third one is the Taruna. So from Taruna to the higher.
And the other day you mentioned in passing that people misunderstand about a term like upakalesa, because they don't realize it has to be related to the vipassana jnana.
Can the upakalesa be seen right now?
No, of course not. Only when vipassana jnana has been developed. But I'm thinking of Kanti Jnana as being, like you said, about the patience at that level, not to mistake for jnana what is
even
not.
Even now, it is patience.
Of the, yes.
But what level? It seems like it takes quite patient to be patient.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when it's higher, how
yes.
much?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In order
greater
to eradicate
greater.
The anusaya.
Yes.
Never be conditioned for the arising of anything at all. Mm. Completely gone.
Yes, that's interesting about the great patience required and how patience has to develop all the time with understanding. And nothing to do with conventional ideas of patience, like one might say this person who's rushing isn't patient enough, but it's nothing to do with conventional ideas because it has to be related to the development of understanding of Dharma's not about different accumulations.
So we take all realities like we know them, but actually it's just a shadow of that which arising and falling away until Panya can penetrate the real one, not only the shadow, which is Nimitta.
The shadow is Nimitta, but even when it's highly developed understanding with highly developed patience, it's still Nimitta of reality that's appearing.
But the Nimitta of the visible object is still bright light.
It cannot change its characteristic, but that which has fallen away cannot arise again
No.
Never to rise again. But we take the other which follows as it,
right.
as before.
So in a dream there is still image?
Of everything, of the five khandhas. With more and more accumulation each moment when there is no understanding. To cover up what is covered from light to light. That's what Buddha meant by to be urgent, see, but not with the idea of self, by conditions.
When you mentioned just now about the shadow or the nimitta, usually what's experienced is like a shadow, but not actually the nimitta of visible object, which is exactly the characteristic of visible object. So when understanding develops, it is the nimitta of the reality, just as it is, just as it appears. So I think we can talk about just the nimitta of reality as shadow too.
Like the shadow of the five colored flags. See, it looks exactly the same, but the color is different of each one. For example, seeing, hearing, they're different, but they seem like that which appear.
Yes. So this isn't exactly because it seems that it's what appears, so it's not really the sankhara nimitta, it's more like a concept, an idea of what appears.
Not as clear.
No.
As when it's not only shadow.
Yes. So when understanding develops, the nimitta is closer and closer to the characteristic of the reality until when it's vipassana jnana, it's so clear. What a unclear shadow.
See, when there is no thinking about the shape and form of a woman, it's just that which appears.
Mm.
There's always thinking about shape and form, though, isn't there?
But
there is a reality that is just the visible object.
When not thinking about the lady, it's just
everything,
just nimitta, visible object. And
there must have been a lady there.
There was a lady.
The blowing leaves.
Yes.
Again, nimitta.
Thinking about the nimitta. And anupyanjana, all the details.
Even a moment of whatever arises cannot be experienced. Only nimitta can.
In what way does it help to know that what is experienced is the nimitta rather than the...
Understanding is the only way.
Say a person has not heard about nimitta.
No way to understand reality as not self. It has to be something from birth to death. I was born and I died. But no idea about I died. Because new being is conditioned after moment of death. Forget everything. Like this life, the beginning of this life. No memory of past life.
Suppose now there is seeing invisible object, hearing and sound.
Mm-hmm.
There can be awareness of those realities, whether or not one has heard about nimitta. As far as I know, there's no explanation in the suttas along the lines that when there's awareness of a visible object, it's awareness of the nimitta.
Nimitta,
the aware of nimitta. No matter what, all nimittas, only nimittas, are experienced before hearing the teachings, no understanding. There can be some tint of understanding arises sometimes, and no one else, just me alone, something like that. Just with a glimpse of the accumulation, but it cannot condition the moment of understanding clearly admitted. That's why let the other hear. We don't know the accumulation.
What Jonathan means is, for example, like a friend who used to listen in the past.
In this life or other life?
We're talking about now in this life.
Okay.
I'm just talking conventionally. So then we talked a lot about different realities, seeing visible object, hearing sound, but we didn't discuss anything about the nimitta of realities. We just talked about the different realities. So the
realities before hearing?
Not before hearing. So
after hearing.
After hearing. So we would hear about the different realities, about seeing visible object, about and read in detail about them, and understanding. In the old discussions, we talk a lot about realities, read a lot about realities, but not mention the word nimitto, just talk about understanding of visible object. So Jonathan's question, as I understand it, is if someone hears about and reads about realities but doesn't hear about the word nimitta, why does it matter?
Not understanding what is there.
That
really
it's nimitta of reality. Mm-hmm. That detail.
Yeah. No idea. Without reality, there cannot be nimitta.
Yeah.
Because of not understanding the reality.
So it's just more and more
is
precise.
Is this explained in the suttas at all by the Buddha?
Whatever is the truth is explained.
Yes.
In sutta, vinaya, abhidhamma. That's why we have to consider each word, how much understanding is there, while hearing, reading, thinking. And before it can develop to higher, just a little higher, it takes quite a long time. So what about all the anusaya, see?
And one needs more and more detail, otherwise there will be doubts or...
Even one knows that it's so very valuable to consider carefully, but no conditions to consider carefully.
I think the reason I've asked this question is I've noticed that when we explain Dhamma to people who are new to the Dhamma, they seem to get along fine until one mentions nimitta. And then it totally throws them,
but if
and
we let them
totally
understand,
unable to comprehend.
Yeah, but if we let them understand the reality, later they can see the nimitta. Mm. If we talk about only nimitta, they cannot understand the reality.
No.
But when there is the understanding of reality, it's conditioned to arise. So very shortly, they begin to see.
So do you think it's okay not to mention nimitta until...
In the beginning? I think that the Paramattadhamma should be mentioned. Because no matter how much different books say about, it's not about reality. And there cannot be understanding of anything before understanding the realities.
Yeah. And if it's not quite firm understanding of the realities, when they hear about nimittas, some will... Turn away.
There are some people also appreciate, like my brother, when I told him the first time, nimitta, we live in the world of nimitta. And then he said he thought about this for a week. The next week he was just thinking about this. But he didn't really listen.
So you were saying he appreciated or he was confused or
He appreciated. Yeah. It's all gone.
Only
it's only the nimitta.
Only that far.
Just
when it's more interesting, you'd like to listen more to understand better.
When you say we live in a world of nimitta, you mean something different from world of concepts? Or do you mean world of concepts?
Different. Right. Just means whatever we know is all gone. It's all gone. The sound, the
all gone.
All
that's not the same as nimitta though, is it?
We live in a world of nimitta, that means the mind or what experience in the mind or even it's only nimitta, right? Nimitta of the realities.
The first process, which follows the sense process, experience exactly the same as that which has been experienced by the sense now, but not exactly, just the
sign of that reality.
Because that is gone. Mm-hmm. The reality is gone. Mm-hmm. But what is left is a sign.
But that isn't that the nimitta.
But after that, it's concepts.
Yeah.
Because of nimitta, there is concepts. So actually it's a world of concepts one lives in most of the time.
And there cannot be concept without nimitta, and there cannot be nimitta without reality. So people are interested in the story of reality.
Stories of realities.
And then sometimes they, like we have the experience on our discussion list of friends, they become more and more obsessed with the story, trying to work out all the details, exactly which moment, and then in the end they just want to throw it all away because it is actually just a story, not the direct understanding of what appears.
So the conclusion is not to mention the nimitta at the beginning.
And then no rule.
But one has to mention the nimitta. If someone says, well, how can mind or experience the reality if it's already fallen away?
Which
then the answer is, well, it's actually the nimitta. Yeah. But if you bring in the nimitta suddenly and say, well, actually, what I've been talking about is the reality, means the nimitta of reality. It's unnecessary complication at the beginning.
Like I think last time when we were in Taipei, because they're all beginners, I don't think we mentioned nimitta, but as Jonathan said, if someone had asked that question, like almost the first question I ever asked was that particular question, well, how can loba be experience when it's fallen away? So for some people it's helpful to hear, but if they don't ask that question, then it's not something I would normally talk about in the beginning.
And I think that the question can lead to what they haven't heard before.
Yes.
To let them think about it.
And then they know that it's for their own question, and it helps. If there's no answer, it's like one has a stumbling block, so then it's helpful to have the answer to consider. Like for me, it was very helpful to hear about, no matter what word is used, whether it's sign or image or photocopy or nimitta. Or I think in the old days when I'd ask, you know, it would just be the characteristic of that reality can appear, even though the reality itself has fallen away, so one doesn't have to use the word nimitta even.
John, after the sense door, the first mind-door process is just exactly taking the sign of the realities, and then followed by another mind-door process, start to have the shape and form and the name.
Many processes. Then we can think that it takes processes to take whatever is experienced as something permanent.
And can we say the first mind-door process right after the sense door process,
and then
thinking,
we don't mind the rest. And then we don't mind the rest processes.
And then we don't
because
mind.
We understand the first one.
Mm-hmm.
At least the first
right,
one.
Right.
No question about how many processes for the first, like the first one again.
Yeah.
It's useless because it cannot be understood at all. But the understanding is that actually what happens after seeing.
Okay. So that very first, can we say that's the samasati?
No. Why is it samasati?
Do you have samasati now? After seeing them, is mind a process? Is it mind?
I mean, when that appeared, does that mean the?
Right now, we talk about each moment in life.
No matter anyone has any kusala, any ever heard the Buddha's teaching, just how it is for always.
That's the process, right?
So why
just the way things are. Mm-hmm. The normal process of jitas.
So why do you?
Because at that time, that's only the realities, like visible
to ignorance, not to understanding.
No, but when it
appears
to the.
So it cannot be samasati.
Right, I mean, when it appears to the understanding, and that's what we call samasati.
You just want the word.
No.
So what is the characteristic of samasati?
But we're not talking about. That we don't say that first mind or process is, has any understanding.
What
the reason I ask about is the first mind or process is just the sign of the reality.
Right now.
Not now, yes. And after that, we start to have the shape form and the name.
Later.
Later, right. And we call that thinking.
Do we have to call?
But we say, when we say thinking, we mean...
Thinking is about what?
Thinking about an object, about...
What object?
Imagined, conceptualized.
After seeing process or when?
Yeah, that's my question. So can we call the first mind of
call
process
again,
thinking?
No. Call again. I don't want to call anything, but I'd like to to understand the process from the seeing process, and then what? The first.
And then mind or...
Have the same object
as seeing.
That's not the first one. The other one, we don't know how many times about Buddha, about Satyabuddha, about those who have never heard about the teachings at all.
When we use the term thinking for the mind or process,
right. Or
sometimes we use the term processing, it's not a term from the teachings. It's just a convenient label to refer to any kind of mind or activity.
Okay.
We don't have a word for it, actually. But we use thinking to indicate mind or activity.
And it depends on how much understanding you have for thinking.
It's a mind or jhavana process.
We don't talk about mind or, we just talk about how much understanding you have when you use the word thinking.
When it's not seeing.
See, and more details, very deep, subtle, vitakka things. If you use the word thinking through mind or, but even the process of sense though,
think
vitakka arises after seeing moment.
That's
so what do you call that? Thinking or what?
So that's why one has to talk about dhammas. Otherwise one just uses words like thinking, but it depends what one means by it.
Do we, is this really appropriate for vitakka to translate as thinking?
To understand. To be understood as it is. What is that which we use for thinking? If there is no reality at all, can there be thinking? So whenever we use the term thinking, what is that?
Well, different people have different ideas.
At what level? At what level? For example, thinking.
Okay.
We use through mind or ordinary, but what things?
Chitta, which sometimes the chitta thinks.
With chetasikas. How many?
Many chetasikas.
Yeah.
And what are the main ones?
So vitakka, now we say vitakka.
Because when you use the word sanya, it's there. But without vitakka, can it think? See? And thinking there doesn't mean thinking in words. It just touch.
Instantly in that mind or process.
Or a sensual process. After seeing, hearing. Vitakka. That later we'll think about terms, convention and so on, words, idea. That is vitakka, not the sanya. Sanya just remembers. That's why before we can attain the intellectual understanding as pariyatti, it's not just how many cittas are there, why this, not that, and so on. It's not like that. But to understand each reality as no self, the beginning of understanding of no self, has to understand the word that we use in daily life to know that what is it. Otherwise, we take it for I, unknowingly.
Like now, thinking about the meaning of the words now.
But what things?
That's chitta, with the vitakka touch.
Chitta experiences, it's the faculty of experiences the object, without thinking at all. Seeing arises falsely without thinking.
No.
See, just pure experience directly. It which means it is the faculty of just experiencing only, no other thing else, no function of citta rather than the faculty of experiencing. So we use the word like we understand. For example, thinking. Through mind, and what about that which arises after seeing?
Yeah, and sense.
And without that, can there be what we say, thinking?
like in the beginning, one's talking to beginners and one says, one can say when there's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there's thinking, but one has to be more and more precise. What exactly is thinking? When does vitakka arise? What about in the idle process?
Right, and that.
And when it is sammasankappa of the eightfold path,
right.
See? It's not thinking in word.
We can say that thinking has different meanings.
So not like we
it can
think.
Be used to refer to mind or processes, jittas, but it also in the Dhamma context refers specifically to vitakka jiva-sankhara, which has a particular function, translated as thinking, but again it's a matter of understanding the function of touching, which is a little bit different from our idea of the term thinking, but nevertheless we need to know about it because it's a factor of the path. We often say, Ajahn, that for every moment of sensed or experiencing, there are many, many moments of mind or afterwards, right? We can refer to those as thinking or processing.
We don't have words like data seekers, but
we just say generally. Yeah.
Generally.
After seeing, there's thinking, that's it. Yeah, referring to.
But how many processes before one can understand that it's thinking? For example, is there a process after seeing process?
Yeah.
It's not known until later on and later on.
When there's an idea. And on your point that you made before about your comment about samasati, so like now after seeing and three more moments, then there are the kusala jitas in the idle process. Any samasati? No, nothing known at all. Asavas arising. And then after the end of the idle process, bhavanga jitas, and then the mind or process, and the, at least the first mind or process experiences exactly that same object, the sign of that object, but nothing known at all about it. No samasati, no sati of any level. Just like now, just completely gone. And then afterwards, we can say more processes, more thinking, not in words, thinking, then later, much, much later, thinking in words. But usually, no, most of the time, no sati of any kind, let alone samasati.
This order of things, of the sensed or process, followed by the mind or processes and so forth, is a fixed order. It doesn't vary, and there's a particular term for it, niyama, to describe this. So there's nothing extraordinary about it. Whether a person has understanding or not, this is how it happens.
And if visible object is known, if there's understanding with sati, then it's just that reality, no thought about whether it's sensed or mind or... It's just that characteristic which appears at that moment.
And can right understanding arise in this sensor process?
I'm not sure for Buddha in the jhana process. For Buddha, it could be right.
Doesn't the other can understand what Buddha told or taught for 45 years?
No.
So what is meant by enlightenment, holy Buddha?
Oh, I meant not easy to understand
not
the teaching.
Is, that is not possible, but to learn to understand the words, the teachings. Mm-hmm. Can panya arise with the sensor process?
Yeah.
See?
Right.
So does it arise now at the sensor process?
No. Not for me.
And when does it arise?
By condition, we don't know. When the bias is really, really high, possibly.
That's right, it's not just the word, it has to be the experience as well, mm-hmm. to really know what Buddha taught was true.
Mm-hmm. Usually, understanding arises in the mind, or, but when it's, for example, vipassana jnana, it can arise in sense thought in between the mind, or. but I think usually in the beginning it's it would always be in the mind. Or, but all by conditions.
And what is the subject? What is the object of the sense door?
The object of the sense door, depending on which.
And what is the panya?
What is the panya? Panya is the same jitta. It would be the same in either door process.
We are thinking about the how the panya arises through sense door.
How the panya arises through the sense door?
How can it arise?
How can it arise through?
Can it?
I imagine for the Buddha and the high wisdom.
So you mean that the Sotapanna cannot have such understanding?
Directly. I don't know if Sotapanna can have Panya in a sensual process.
So can there still be wrong understanding while experiencing sensual?
Not for the area.
How can it be like that?
Because the anusaya is eradicated, the ditti anusaya.
So can it arise and understand the sense though as it is?
But there are still anusaya there, the lopa.
But can the anusaya be eradicated? The ditti?
The ditti, yes.
The first.
Right.
And how can that ditti be known?
How can that ditti be known?
The ditti that's been eradicated?
No, that hasn't been that ditti that arises even in the sense door process. How can it be known before it's been eradicated?
Before it's been eradicated.
We're saying because he mentioned all the Sotapanna could, and Ajahn's saying, what about before that? How can it be known in order to be eradicated? If it's not known, it can't be eradicated if it doesn't appear.
Can there be ditti in the sense that in the Sotapanna sense that process?
No.
How?
It's eradicated already.
By when? What?
By the Magga Citta at enlightenment.
Before that?
Before that.
Can it just jump to be eradicated?
No, it's the process we are talking about, all the Sankhara Upekkha and then all the stages of the high Vipassana.
The understanding has to have developed to reach that stage where it can eradicate it.
So you mean before enlightenment at a high level it's already could arise at the sense door process?
Otherwise how can it be eradicated? The wrong view which arises at the sense door process?
Okay, so that's also mean Vipassana Yana does not have to be the mind or process at a high level.
Vipassana Yana is for everyone. The same level. Namarupa, Pariccheda, Yana, Sariputta, Mukhalana, or
anyone.
Exactly the same. Because no one there, only the level of Panya. Otherwise, how can the ditti be eradicated? Even at the process of sensa process, there is no condition for it to arise.
So that understanding has to have developed. Long before enlightenment occurs, in order for it to be the last taint of it, to be completely eradicated at that stage.
Otherwise, how can there be the Nama Rupa Pariccheda Yana if there's a wrong understanding at the sense process?
Even the first stage.
Yeah. Does it also have the ditti at the moment of sense process?
The first stage, there could be still asava.
But when panya is there, can the asava be there?
No.
So is it asava after seeing?
After
in
seeing.
In the process of seeing?
Usually, yes.
And when it's not known, it's not gradually eliminated, how can that be eradicated?
Okay.
So the panya has to arise in the sense door process.
during the very short moments of Vipassana Jnana, even the first one, when it's Vipassana Jnana, can there be any akusala
in
the process, which are nama rupa prachiriyana?
Panya has to arise in the sensitive process, and that's why when we're talking about even Vipassana Jnana, even though we can say mostly in mind or bhakti, because most realities can only be known through the mind, or that can also be sensed or processes, understanding sensed or processes in between too.
Otherwise it would be
limited or something.
Thinking of Vipassana Jnana as only through mind and no sense of panya at all. So it's quite strange to have a kusala and then kusala so quickly in between.
Yeah, it doesn't asavas and then, and even before Vipassana Jnana, when Satipatthana is being developed, I don't think any rules, so even then, can arise in sense or depending, but mostly in mind.
That which appears is less than that which do not appear. Mm. Like Sampaticcana for one kind of song.
Yes.
They do not appear to
The visible object appears. I remember when a couple of our friends or a couple of the students who come to the foundation a lot, when there was talk about how Pasa and Sanya don't appear, and this was quite a big issue, and then they found all these references in the Visuddhimagga about them appearing, and they couldn't accept it, and this was like one reason they turned away, because they just can't accept that some realities, so it can be quite an issue for some people.
If they think about that, what about kaya prasati, citta prasati, kaya laguta, citta laguta, and so on?
Kaya vinyati, bachi vinyati.
It's just like try to waste one's time.
Trying to
understand, to...
And trying to know, wanting to experience.
I think they missed the basic point that the object of awareness and understanding is anything that appears, not things that don't appear. It's not as though we have to know all the dhammas that are listed.
It can be conditioned for better and better understanding of no self at all, by condition. And that will support the understanding to be the second Vipassana Jnana, letting go better than the first, just a little bit.
Otherwise, there's always the subtle idea of focusing or trying to experience or wanting to catch.
Wanting the object.
Not really understanding conditioned nature of dharmas.
The traps of ignorance and lobha on the way.
And not appreciating the Buddha's knowledge is not ours just because Pasa and Sanya and these other cheetahs are so apparent to the Buddha, doesn't mean they are apparent to anyone.
So a moment ago, Ajahn, you said what appears is much less than what doesn't appear. And we could also say that what is to be understood is also less than what doesn't need to be understood.
As long as there is clear understanding of the characteristic of nama and of everything is included.
Yeah, that's right.
When it appears, no doubt, because one is getting used to the characteristic which is of self as nama, that which is here.
If it doesn't appear, it doesn't matter at all.
No shape, no form at all, just the experiencing of something by the own characteristic which performs such particular function as different from that which usually appears.
And this is what we refer to as lifting the veil of ignorance. And it's not the same as having the kind of knowledge that a Buddha has, which is obviously so much more detailed than is necessary for enlightenment to be attained.
Without detachment, it's impossible to understand reality as it is, because of anusya, or full, all kinds of anusya.
And when we were talking about the Harinyas and how actually there are different kinds of direct understanding of dharmas in between vipassana and jnana, but more than ordinary satipatthana, and of course completely different from usual thinking. And the first one is jnata parinya, investigation of what has been known. And the next one, the tirana parinya, the full understanding of investigation. What's the reason it's called this name, tirana?
One by one, please, from the very beginning.
Okay, so the first is jnata parinya. So after the first vipassana jnana, then it is the understanding of what has been known, what has been realized, and it is a direct understanding of those dharmas, but not vipassana jnana, but as applied in daily life.
Before you came to Bangkok, do you know what Bangkok was?
No idea. So only
but once you've been there, can you remember?
Then you can remember
but
or think about it.
Not as like when you come
came,
again
no,
and see it.
Just recollect it because of. So, yeah.
But you cannot say that it's lost. I
no,
couldn't remember.
No,
I have
no
experience at all.
No, I've been. I've had that experience.
So it depends on condition to think about it and understand it just a little better.
Yes.
We cannot measure at all because
no,
the ego is so great, no one can measure.
Yes.
So the understanding which begins is less than that. So we cannot see now the Sankhara Khanda, the Jetasikas, are working together in order to understand better and better later. And that it cannot be Vipassana, but it knows the difference
right
between
no vipassana jnana and vipassana jnana.
And
yes,
jnata prinya cannot be before vipassana jnana.
No, and it cannot be before higher stages of insight,
yeah,
because it's only known
yeah
what has been realized at that stage.
So when there is the idea of trying to catch, watching and so on,
nothing to do with it, no.
It's the destroying the teachings
yes
of the Buddha.
Or trying to know what sanya or pasa is or something. And the last one, the pahana parinya, this is the abandoning, understanding of abandoning. But this is even before enlightenment, but actually nothing has been abandoned yet. Nothing has been eradicated. So why is it called pahana parinya?
After what? Vipassana jnana. Pankha, no more.
No,
so
no,
it
yeah
begins to detach from that which appears because that has to fall away forever.
So it is the beginning of abandoning.
You see that even the word of the Buddhas is so short, it bears so great understanding.
Yes. So much detail just in one word or one term, why it is pahana at that moment.
And this understanding is useless to talk about this to those who have no understanding at
no
all.
Because usually in other contexts when pahana is used, like in the Pahana Sutta, it's talking about what is eradicated or what is completely abandoned, but here already talking about pahana.
Not just one vipassana jnana. From then on,
onwards,
it begins
more and more
yeah
abandoning until completely eradicated.
With makkacitta.
With the anusias.
Do you know what arises in between seeing right now? It seems like there is always seeing all the time. But does anyone know what is there in between?
No.
Not though, but sati begins to see what sleeps in. Uncontrollable. And is it not self? Not yet. See, until it develops on and on. Everything begin to appear at its least at just very slight moments. But it's there. So when it's wrong view, even so slight, it's still there.
and the thinking comes in so fast, so quickly, instantly.
So when you say what slips in between seeing, are you referring to that particular sense door? Or
whatever.
Like hearing,
whatever.
Hearing slips in also.
Whatever.
Thinking, countless amounts of thinking.
Thinking, thinking about what is being seen, yeah. But also thinking about
no
other things
expectation
too.
At all. That's why it conditioned firmer understanding of no one, no self, uncontrollable.
Right.
And life is just like this,
yeah.
By conditions.
Like hearing and thinking about the world. There's still light in the background.
It's so quick,
like
so
that.
So fast.
But no idea that it's gone.
There's no sense for me of thinking about the meaning of what has been said. It just happens, just like the idea of cup is there without any delay between the moment of seeing.
So it cannot be the same as when the letting go after experiencing Pankayana.
What I think is interesting when we're discussing these things is that we'd have to say that the jnanas are relatively high level of developed understanding, yet even so, there's still room for misunderstanding and wrong path to arise after that.
And when you begin to understand,
yeah,
little by little.
But not the same lifetime, right? Not, even the ditti is not eradicated. It's possible to be at the wrong path, but for at a relatively high level of dhanya, wrong path not likely to be at the same in the same lifetime.
How do you mean not likely to be in the same lifetime?
Like this lifetime, not likely for you to be on the wrong path now.
What
but the ditti is still there.
What do you mean about to be on the wrong path? What does that mean to be on the wrong path?
It's not on the right path. It's
moments
taking a method.
How long does it last for to be on the wrong path?
How long does it last? No, I mean like going to a meditation center, not likely for you.
It's
now.
A question of the strength of the moments of ditti, because definitely there are moments of ditti still arising, but not of a strength to condition visiting a meditation center, for example.
Yeah, because you were mentioning the wrong path.
Yes.
You mean even there's room for the wrong path. On the wrong path, even if high level of bandha.
Yes, I'm referring to moments, of course, of
okay.
wrong thinking.
That's
why
I say how long, because it's just a moment.
If only I had more time, I could develop more understanding, that sort of thing. It's already ditti.
To me, it's almost impossible for you to be on, to go to a meditation center this lifetime. But we don't know about the next lifetime.
Mm. Quite so. Yes, that's your point, isn't it?
Right.
Next lifetime. If next lifetime one's first contact with Dhamma is through a meditation practice or teaching,
right.
then one may be inclined to follow
right.
that.
Right. Even
initially.
If your assumption wrong, but you are there, but you don't have other, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, you haven't
right.
heard actually
right.
the correct
right. Right.
explanation of the Dhamma. Right.
And then it depends how firmly established the Panya is.
Yes.
Whether like the example of the Bodhisattva when he was Jyotipala, and I forget the details, but he followed the wrong teaching, followed the wrong way for a while. And so depending on conditions.
Did I interrupt your what you were going to say about the room?
But I think the other day, Ajahn, you were saying when the understanding is firm, really firm and confident, then it won't go wrong.
But since the wrong view hasn't been eradicated yet, there can be the moments of not understanding.
Yeah. Moments, but not strong enough to follow wrong practices.
For example, to be alone. Can condition the moment of thinking about going somewhere, see. But panya, which developed enough to understand it, is useless.
Yeah. You can still have the thoughts, but they're not followed through.
Right. Well, there might be the thought that when one's busy, thought about going to a quiet place or just not being so busy or turning off the radio to have understanding, just moments of wrong understanding.
That's right. Each word should be studied very carefully to understand how it can be as well.
Yes, just for moments.
That's why one do not stop learning, hearing, thinking over realities. Mm. Those who understand the teachings never stop.
Never enough listening and considering and discussing.
When you say something like, once someone's had the understanding and then they won't go to the meditation center and there won't be the wrong path, or the other day you were saying that you had the idea when Jonathan had listened to a jhana, then he wouldn't go to be a monk, or I wouldn't go to a temple. But I think when one just thinks in terms of all these situations and stories, it's not actually understanding about the dhammas and how quickly wrong view can appear or not. And it's not actually about that situation, like one could come here with wrong view. There can be wrong view any time. I think less about the situation and more about the understanding of dhammas, like whether Jonathan became a monk before or after he met Ajahn, to me is irrelevant, unimportant.
To some people, it's matter because they wonder if Ajahn make people disrobe.
Because they want a whole story, and this shows no understanding of the teaching at all. It's nothing to do with understanding dhammas.
And this will be the topic that we'll have discussion with whom, Jonathan, because it must be so very helpful for the other to listen to the reason and to the understanding that can develop naturally.
That has some sort of influence.
Yes. Mm. Well, I suppose it's natural, but in the long run, it doesn't make any difference.
Right. In the long run, yes, I agree. If you're talking about learning Dhamma, no.
Yes, that
language
to
doesn't
do
matter. Yeah. But if just for an interview, that's kind of something.
And now I have an idea. This is English and Thai, and you and Sarah, Chinese and English. because to be interested in the teaching doesn't mean that you stop your accumulation to be interested in other things like language and so on. As naturals, they can see how Dhamma is any moment to every different one.
Cantonese would be with liberal English interspersions.
As you like, Thai,
all by conditions.
All by conditions.
Yeah. To help people.
I would like to help the jhana, of course,
to help people.
Anything I can do to
the truth.
To help. I'm happy to try.
That you cannot listen to my Christian word to become Buddhist.
I think people are just calling you Christian because they want to hurt you.
It's like when
not,
they call you
it's not
Muslim.
Because they really believe that you are Christian.
That
they're trying
they want
to think
the
of some way
to listen to me.
To say some things that will hurt you.
It doesn't hurt me, but the people follow his word not to listen to
Maybe
me.
When they called you Muslim, it had no effect, so now they call you Christian.
And, if this and Islam, and Devadatta.
I just want to get back to something we were talking about yesterday, which is quite a deep topic about, for example, like we were talking about sound and also about breath, and we were talking about how temperature conditions sound, and then the temperature, the heat in the kalapa conditions more sound, and this can continue right through to America. So whatever sound is heard is actually countless kalapas with sound in each condition by temperature, on and on and on and on and on. And you also mentioned with regard to breath, so like Vincent gave the example of taking what conventionally we say is a deep breath, how chitta, for example, conditions a kalapa, very subtle, very fine at each, almost every moment. and then how the temperature in that kalapa will condition more kalapas. And so by the time there is this idea of taking a breath, there actually have been countless groups of rupas, mostly conditioned by temperature, but which originated at the very beginning with the group conditioned by citta. Is that correct?
I think that that's the way they are. We cannot know everything,
no,
how much this goes,
yeah,
how far and so on.
Yes.
But when it's the record of my voice, it's not me.
No. Too, mm-hmm.
But then you remember.
It's the temperature that's conditioned that sound, yes.
And when, how come?
See, yes.
If there's no original
voice. There must have been the
voice.
Yes. Or when you turn on the radio, what is heard is not the sound of the
depending
voice.
On conditions. Otherwise, how can we think? How far?
Yes.
How long?
Yes.
See, as long as there are conditions.
And even at the moment of birth, karma conditions the three groups of rupa, and there's heat and in those groups, because it's in every group, and the heat produces more rupas, more groups of rupas. So right from the start, it's like that.
They become atom around here. Condition become. It draws one away from present moment.
Yeah.
Because of ignorance. Mm. Thinking of the importance of so and so, such and such, but actually it's useless as long as there's no direct understanding of whatever
still,
it is.
But still, it does, and like we said about how come, you know, the loba by nimitta does explain how it is that the sound seems to last.
Awareness arises, it knows by right condition.
Yes.
Of understanding
reality, right?
But by thinking about
whether it's sound, like sound now, how it's been conditioned, or the hardness, which the softness that is taken for breath, it doesn't actually matter. It's just softness that appears.
Or
whatever.
Anyone like to think of the virtues of the Buddha?
Well, it's the great wisdom of the Buddha that taught all these. Whatever
and what about
we know.
That which he didn't teach? See?
Unimaginable. With all the complexity of karma and everything.
Not only one or two lives, but years and years.
I think one of the problems, and we could say this is maybe one reason people call you names and this sort of thing, is. And it's the same wherever we go. People talk about Ajahn Tsuchin's teaching, and actually we're talking about the Buddha's teaching and the Buddha's virtue. So every time we're in Vietnam or Taiwan or anywhere, always have to remind people we're talking about the Buddha's understanding, not mine or yours or anyone's. And I think it's really important, because otherwise people cling to a teacher, or cling to this teacher says this and that teacher says that, or I'll collect what different teachers say, and it's all just thinking about different people. It's not actually understanding the Dharmas, which has to be verified for oneself and verified according to what one reads and considers.
So as much as we can be is my good friend.
Good friend and conduit channel for conveying the teachings.
Who have goodwill for everyone who would like to understand the truth of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person knows who's the teacher.
Yes.
Not us, but
and when people appreciate this, then they won't call names, or they won't compare teachers, or they won't make it so personal.
Well, of course, I think also in the calling of names, the fact is that these people are clinging to a different interpretation of the Buddha's teaching, clinging very strongly, and their deeply held belief is challenged by
something they heard, and they react with dosa.
And actually, your example of how patient you are and understanding you are, no matter what is called or what is said, actually it helps others like us a lot, because we get called names too. When we're talking about the three Mano Dhatus yesterday, I always say, oh, these are the three cheetahs that only experience objects through the sense doors. But one time you corrected me and you said, rather than saying they're the three cheetahs that only experience through the sense doors, you said they're the cheetahs that only experience five aramanas, only those objects. Is there any difference?
The same.
Same, exactly the same, okay.
Five sense doors, yeah. And the ten.
Yes,
and the
okay.
Aramana.
I thought it was a correction, but maybe it's just another way of putting mm-hmm. the same thing. Are you familiar with this expression in Pali, ditti yeva dhamma? This is a translation. Nibbana in these seen conditions, ditti yeva dhamma, reaches conditionless parinibbana in these seen conditions, in the same existence. It doesn't make sense. Are you familiar
what
with
it? What is the translation? One by one.
Okay, nibbana in these seen conditions, ditte yeva dhamme. The translation, which doesn't make sense to me, in these seen conditions, ditte yeva dhamme. This is not ditte, it's ditte, what is seen.
What is seen is sensuous object.
Yeah,
and these ditte seen can experience that
yeah.
with wrong understanding.
Yeah, I think yeah. I leave this one, yeah. This is about nibbana and parinibbana.
Because it has to experience an
yes,
object as
yeah.
well.
No, I think
so when the object of ditti is sensuous object, is there.
I think this is something else, but I'll leave it. And also, have you heard about, like in the Dhatukata, about jati, jara, marana, referring to jivita, or because it talks about...
Because without jivitindriya, nama and rupa, there cannot be being.
Okay, because it talks about jati, jara, marana in terms of
jivitindriya.
Two khandhas. So if it is jivitindriya, that's two khandhas and one ayatana. So it can be one ayatana and one dhatu. So jati, jara, marana. So I thought it must refer to jivitindriya. Do you think so?
So it is dhammayatana.
Dhammayatana is dhammayatana. So referring to jivitindriya, because without jivitindriya, no jati, jara, marana. Yes.
Lovely discussion.
Thank you. So nice. So good.